Hi, this is Doug Deacon. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news and photos and videos and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. And we are going to get into some tweetage right now with our producer, Jason Gibbs. Jason, what do we got?
All right, guys. First one up here from Kevin Beard says, I like the confidence of Pettin and Farmer over the arrogance of Banner / Lombardi. Agree or disagree?
You know, it's fair. I think it's fair to say that, and I'm not big on, you know, dumping on people who aren't here anymore, but I'm going to say this. Whether it was real, you know, whether it was genuine or not, there was that perception I heard from many, many people that there was a sense of, we're smarter than you. We know how to do this. You know, you're just observers. You're just fans. You're just media. You're just whatever if you're not us in the building and the key decision makers. And I think there does come a sense from Ray Farmer, from Mike Pettin, that they're more connected and genuine with the idea of, hey, look, you know, we're trying to do our best job possible. This is what we do, but they don't necessarily wear on the sleeve that they've got all the answers, that they're the smartest people in the room. And I think there is a little bit of a humble sense to go with that. Not necessarily, they're confident. They're really confident. For a first-time GM and a first-time head coach, they're really confident. But I can understand why someone would say that previously there was more of a sense of arrogance.
Yeah, I get that. And I think, listen, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin know enough to know what they know, and I think they also know enough to know what they don't know yet and what they haven't experienced yet, and they're happy with the process by which they have gone, the process they've gone through to get where they are now in terms of the preparation for this draft, and in Coach Pettin's case, preparation for the draft and the offseason workouts. But they know that they have a job to do, and they're focused on doing it to the best of their ability and not telling everybody kind of what the deal is. And I think that there is certainly a different vibe, whether it comes from arrogance, confidence, whatever. There's certainly a different vibe, in my opinion, in this building and around this football team with these two guys in charge. And I think these two guys are working together in concert so much better in terms of Farmer and Pettin, and they alluded to it. Mike Pettin certainly alluded to it when he was on our show earlier today. And, of course, you could get, if you missed our interviews with Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin in studio here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford, you can get that at clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app at your leisure later today. But he said we're very much in sync. And the way that the organization was structured before, it was hard to foster an environment where everybody was in sync because it was one person's domain, as a matter of fact.
Right. And there was, I mean, clearly in the aftermath, a great disconnect between the two of them, Banner, Lombardi, as time went on, and that became a problem. It became part of the reason they're no longer here. That became more of their focus than maybe getting the job done. But that said, the one thing I would caution against anybody is just assuming that because it's different people and that they don't necessarily sound to, again, quote the tweet there, the question about arrogant and, you know, you sound like you've got all the answers. Just because they don't come off that way doesn't mean that they aren't not only supremely confident in what they do, but that they believe in their mind that they know what they're going to do a lot better than anyone else from the outside who's going to maybe suggest something. They're not walking through this thing with a committee approach. Hey, what do you feel like when they walk in this studio? Hey, Nathan, Vic, any thoughts on what you want to contribute to this draft process? Because it's their process just as much as it was Joe Banner's, Mike Lombardi's process.
Totally. The grass is always greener on the other side, and now we got to see what happens there. Let's go to Doug in Cincinnati now, talking about the draft, the quarterback position. Doug, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Nathan, I'm just curious. You're real big on Teddy Bridgewater.
I am.
And can you tell me, you know, what's your thought process on that?
So I have done in my own studies of these quarterbacks, watched every throw that they have made this year, and in some cases gone back a couple of years on them. And in my opinion, when I look at Teddy Bridgewater, he is the most accurate quarterback in this draft class, and he is the one who, pretty much the consensus is, has the highest football IQ. His ability to make pre-snap and post-snap reads and decisions is probably the highest and best of any quarterback in this class. And I think, at least in my opinion, when you look at these quarterbacks and look at the quarterbacks who are truly successful in the NFL right now, Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers, they win with their mind as well as they do with their physical gifts. And I believe Teddy Bridgewater is the best equipped to win with his mind. I still think he throws the most accurate ball in this class, especially in the short or intermediate game. And let me tell you something. There's a lot to like about him, and people say he's a dinker and a dunker. Well, he averaged 9.5 yards per pass attempt in the air. That was the highest of any of the quarterbacks coming out. 71% completion, highest of any of the quarterbacks coming out. Under pressure, he was completed 53.5% of his passes. Against the blitz, number one, 70% completion, 15 touchdowns, only one interception. More than anybody, he shows a better understanding of his offense and how to read defenses and blitz than any quarterback in this class. He's accurate, and the knocks on him, to me, typically aren't football knocks. This guy doesn't look like a quarterback should look. He does not. His shoulders are too slender. His hands are not big enough. Yet I saw him take many hits in college and get up it with no problem. Does he have the strongest arm in the draft? No. But he is incredibly accurate in the short and intermediate game, and I think that in the modern NFL is the most important. He's more mobile than people give him credit for. So those would be, in a nutshell, why I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Now, I'm on record as not liking him as much as you do. I don't dislike the guy, but I don't have the same love for him to be this the quarterback for this team or another team up high. But that all said, where I also don't agree with the Teddy Bridgewater haters or knockers is you go to a guy like Mike Mayock, whose opinion I respect, who watches a lot of tape, who formulates opinions based on, I think, educated knowledge, whatever. He said that the poor pro day bothered him more than it would normally for another player because of just how awful it was, that watching the way the ball just looked coming off the hand of Bridgewater didn't look like not only an NFL pass, but it didn't look like a really good college pass anymore. And he couldn't for the life of him figure out why, but he said he was weighting that more heavily than he normally would, but had to because it was so darn bad. Now, I think it shocked me that it was bad. I think it shocked you too, that he was as bad as he was in that session, because for all the reasons that you just listed, all those numbers, all those comparisons that paint the picture of this precision-based player, he should have looked his most precise in that circumstance and didn't, and that is going to absolutely, I think, work against him, but it shouldn't be the reason, in my mind, that you don't draft the guy. If you don't draft him, I think it's bigger things that were in existence prior to that workout. You talk about his physical size or lack thereof, the shoulders, the hips. I've heard all of that. I still say that, and when I've seen him at his best, I think he's been amazing. What I can't do in my mind's eye is picture him taking the kind of punishment he will take, even more so than other guys who are. He can move around, but would you put him in the truly mobile category? I don't. I think he's a guy who will do his best work. And again, every stat you cited, primarily done working within the pocket.
He's the best pocket guy.
Presence, yes. Passer. So I just worry about how much he'll get slammed in that pocket. Jason Gibbs, more tweets?
Yeah, Doug Patterson, earlier on the show, Vic talking, while Vic is taking Johnny out of the mix, tell him to take skittish Derek Carr out of the mix as well.
Not going to do that, because I don't think the skittishness bothers me as much as it clearly bothers the tweeter. I see in Carr, and again, I feel like I always put these disclaimers, I see in none of these guys a guy that I want to put on the field this year, that I hope I don't have to. But I see a guy who I believe will mesh the best with what this offense will be about, which I think is take good care of the football. And you reference skittishness. I think you get more skittish when you've got to carry more of the load. And I think that was part of the problem with Derek Carr at Fresno State. But I think he's a smart quarterback who will stay within himself, who understands the correlation between running an efficient offense and playing good defense.
Yeah. To me, he's the guy that's most like the Matt Stafford, the most like Jay Cutler in terms of kind of a gunslinger, poor mechanics, relies on his arms, and somebody that you would hope to develop, but you know you'd have to live with some things that he would do where he threw the ball where he wasn't supposed to at times because he believes so strongly in his very strong arm.
You got to live, and there's that's a great phrase, live with that stuff with him. Live with what we talked about with Teddy. Live with what you got with Johnny Manziel. And I think it's all degrees of how much you want to live with it based on where you draft the guy, right? I think you'll live with all these things a lot easier if that guy is not a premier top five pick.
Yes.
You don't live. Right. At that point, you're not living with anything other than he's the man and he's got it. And we can't say that definitively about any of these quarterbacks. Maybe we do say it about guys at other positions. Maybe.
We'll see. That's what's interesting.
Gibbs, anything else?
Just one other one, guys, because we're right up against it. Yeah. Drew at Rather Be Golfing says, if Farmer is truly only worried about this year, he won't draft a quarterback to see the field this year. Hashtag no QB in the first round.
First of all, I don't agree with that. Yeah. Now, would I be, if you were to tell me that we come out of this draft without a quarterback in the first round and the quarterback that we get later on in maybe the third, fourth, or even second, if you needed to come back in the end second to get him, is Aaron Murray, I'd be okay with that. I would be fine with that. I don't think you have to take a quarterback in the first round as long as you end up with another guy like an Aaron Murray. However, I think that where you draft the guy doesn't matter as soon as he's in the building. And I think Mike Pettine would agree with that. Ray Farmer would agree with that as well. The best player should play a quarterback. And if the best player, and I'll go back to the example in Seattle, and it's not because Russell Wilson, well, it could be anybody, but they paid Matt Flynn a lot of money to be their starting quarterback that year, and Russell Wilson came in and beat him out. Brian Hoyer right now should be the clubhouse leader. He should be the favorite until he is beaten out by a rookie quarterback. But there should be a competition, and we know that that will be a hallmark of this organization with Mike Pettine as its coach and Ray Farmer as its GM. I think the word competition was used 100 times today.
Maybe 120.
Yes.
Yeah, it's right up there. All right, we want to thank some people for being on this show. Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Browns. Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns. Just to name two in this all-star lineup we had over the course of these last couple of hours. Of course, we had Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We appreciate his contributions to the show. Jason Gibbs, our outstanding producer. Gerard Cherry, thank you for your usual Monday spot. And stick around because coming up next is Hooley and Gerard after we leave the air. And we'll be back at this tomorrow. These guys take the field tomorrow morning. Nathan and I will be checking that out and giving you some analysis of what we see so far from this football team. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci, saying you've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Good to be back.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.